morning, we would know that we've heard from you, and I pray you'd challenge us and you'd motivate us and you'd help us, Lord, to be able to grow this morning because of the word. In your precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Luke chapter number 10, and we've actually preached a lot out of Luke 10 recently, and this morning I just want to focus in on one little story at the end of Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, if you begin reading at verse number 38, you'll see there, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Now, if you've read the New Testament before, you may be familiar with Martha and her sister Mary. Martha and her sister Mary also had a brother named Lazarus. You may be familiar with the story in John where Lazarus had died, and Jesus came and resurrected him from the grave. Mary and Martha are well-known characters in Scripture. They're not talked extensively about, but they're talked enough about. And in the story here, we find the Lord Jesus Christ going through certain villages, as it says there. Look at the last part of verse 38. It says, "And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." So the Lord Jesus is over spending time with fellowship and having a meal at the house of this lady Martha. Look at verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." So that's kind of the introduction to the story there. Jesus is at the home of Martha, and you've got Martha there who's entertaining the Lord, and you've got Mary there who was also there for time of fellowship with Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this morning, I do not plan on preaching very long this morning. I know that it's time change Sunday. I know that you lost an hour of sleep, and so I don't want to keep you too long this morning. So I just want to give you a few things to think about in regards to this story. Number one, I'd like you to see, Martha was cumbered. The Bible says Martha was cumbered. Look at verse 40. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." Now, you may not be familiar with that, what that word cumbered means. The word cumbered means to weigh down. It means to burden. It means to hurt her, to hinder. It means to resist someone. That's what the word cumber means. Cumber, when someone is cumbered, they are in a state where they're not able to get everything done that they want to get done, or they're not able to accomplish the things they want to accomplish. They're literally just weighed down because of the burdens or the different things, the responsibilities that have been laid on her. And the Bible says in verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." This lady had a lot going on. I don't know about you, but if I had the Son of God, if I had God in the flesh at my house, I'd want him, you know, I think you ladies would be very interested in making sure that he was comfortable. You know what I mean? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the Savior of the universe, comes over for dinner and at Martha's house, and she's running around like a chicken with her head cut off, trying to make sure everything's taken care of. She's very cumbered about much serving. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? What you need to understand is this. Martha in this story represents us when we get very busy with life. You ever been busy with life? You ever felt like you're just kind of pulled in too many directions, and you just kind of feel like things are just falling apart everywhere, and you're just kind of barely, you know, this is, somebody said this to me recently, and I thought, man, that's exactly how I feel sometimes. You feel like you're chasing the clock, you know what I mean? Feel like you're constantly behind, like you're just barely making it. And what you need to understand is this, life gets busy. Some of you teenagers don't understand that. When you're, let me tell you something. If you're here and your age ends with this word teen, I don't care if it's 18, I don't care if it's 19, it is teen. And that means you are a child. And if I were you, I would enjoy those teen years, because I'm here to tell you, one day you're going to grow up and life is going to get busy. You're not going to get off of school, you know. And I know it's a real hard work day, 6 hours in school. Man, I was talking to somebody about how much time they have of school this day, nowadays. I mean, they get a week off of school for every time a president dies, they get a week off of school. Good night, you know. We got all this time, and I'm not against you kids. I'm just messing around, but you know, life. for adults that end up becoming responsible, because we understand that there's a lot of adults that are act like children. We get that. But eventually life gets busy. Eventually you have children. Eventually you have jobs. Eventually you have responsibilities. Eventually you have things that you've got to take care of. People that are depending on you or dependent upon you. And life gets busy. And when life gets busy, life also becomes stressful. You ever said this before? I am stressed out. If you've never said that before, you may say it soon. Because life has a tendency to get stressful. And Martha, at this moment in life, would have described herself as stressed out. God showed up for dinner. I'm stressed out. I've got a lot to do. I've got things that need to be accomplished. I'm cumbered about. The issues of life can overtake and overwhelm and even weigh you down. Let me keep your finger there in Luke chapter 10, but go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter number 12, and we preached on this subject before also, so I'm not going to preach on it this morning, but I want you to see it. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews right before the book of James. Hebrews chapter 12, right before the book of James. Hebrews chapter number 12, I'd like you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Make note of that word. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, often, and here in this passage and in other places of Scripture, the Bible will illustrate our lives as a race. The Apostle Paul said, "I have finished the course." He talked about finishing his course. He talked about running his race. And you know, the Bible illustrates our life as a race we're running. And that end goal, it will be either when you die and you go to heaven, or when Jesus Christ comes back and you're raptured. But we're all running this race. But here's what's interesting. Look at verse 1 again of Hebrews 12. It says, "Wherefore we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, I'm not preaching on that, but don't miss that, okay? The Bible tells us, just like in a race, you know, you think of the Olympics, or you think of something like that, you know, or maybe in high school where you're in track and meet or something, and you are racing, and there is a crowd of people around watching and cheering you on. Maybe you kids are in a track and meet or something like that. And your parents or your grandparents or your friends or somebody, they go and they're watching you, your athletic event, and they're cheering you on. In the same way, the Bible says that you and I are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. See, in heaven, there are believers that are looking down on you. They're looking down on your life. They're watching you race and run the race that is set before you. And they're cheering you on. Isn't that a great thought? It's also a very humbling thought. To think that a great man like Moses, to think that a great man like the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter, that men like James and John and Elijah and Elisha and King David and Samuel would be looking down at you and I and saying, "Man, go for it. Run that race." Sometimes I wonder if we give them much to cheer about. Sometimes I wonder if there's anything for them to get excited about. But he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Notice what he says. He says, you're running this race. He said, you have people watching you. They're cheering you on. And he said, but if you're going to win the race, notice what he says. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset you." Now, sin in your life will keep you from running the race and running the course and finishing the mission that God has given in your life. We understand that. And you ought to get the sin out of your life. But the Bible there makes a distinction. He says, lay aside the weight, and he says, lay aside the sin. There is sin that will stop you from running the race that God has given you. But sometimes there are things that are not sinful that will just weigh you down. He said, lay aside the weight. That's what Martha was feeling at this time. That's the definition of that word cumbered. Weighed down. Things she was worried about and things she was stressing out about and things she was thinking about. Go back to Luke there. See, the issues of life can oftentimes overtake you. The issues of life can oftentimes overwhelm you. The issues of life can oftentimes weigh you down. What am I talking about? I'm talking about things like mortgage, rent, insurance, work or the lack thereof. You know, children have this nasty little habit where they like to eat every day. You know what I mean? It's hard. And sometimes we get so busy with the things of life, busy with the day-to-day school, work, this, that, the responsibilities you've been given. Martha, this is what she represents. She was cumbered about. She was not enjoying life. She was not fellowshipping with the people she should be fellowshipping. She was just working and working and getting things done and accomplishing, to be honest, very little. Keep your finger there in Luke. Go to Matthew real quickly. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 is the first book in the New Testament. Should be fairly easy to find. Matthew chapter number 6. And I just want to read one verse to you out of Matthew. Now, if I were you, I'd put your bulletin or a ribbon or something there in Matthew 6 because we're going to come back to it towards the end of the service. But in Matthew chapter number 6, look at verse number 25. The Bible says, therefore, Matthew chapter 6 verse 25, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now when he said, this is Lord Jesus Christ speaking by the way, this is a famous Sermon on the Mount. He said, take no thought for your life. He said, don't think about your life too much. You say, well, what kind of things is he talking about? Look what he says. He says, this is what I don't want you to think about. This is what I don't want you to worry about. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Now here's what's interesting. These are the things we often are worried about. The kids need new clothes. We need groceries. We need this. We need shelter. The things of our body. Notice what he said. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Look what he says. Look at the last part of verse 25. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Or the body than raiment. Do you see that? This is what Jesus was saying. He's saying, look, life is more than the clothes you put on. And life is more than the food you take in. Now we understand, you need clothes, and we understand, you need food, and we understand, you need shelter, and you've got to pay the PG&E, and you've got to pay the SMART, and you've got to pay the insurance, and you've got to put gas in the car. We understand that. But oftentimes, as we get older in life, life becomes about putting gas in the car. Making sure the lights stay on. Making sure there's food in the refrigerator. And Jesus Christ says, you're missing it. Life is more than food. He says, life is more than meat. Life is more than raiment. Man. Go back to Luke there. We'll be coming back to Matthew 6. I want you to see, number one, that Martha was cumbered. But number two, I want you to see, Martha was not only cumbered, she was not only busy and overwhelmed and stressed out, but because she was busy, and because she was overwhelmed, and because she was stressed out, number two, Martha was also troubled. Look at verse 41. Luke chapter 10, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, I always love, I was telling my wife this yesterday, we were talking about the Bible and stuff, and saying, I always love, obviously we know the entire Bible is the Word of God. We understand that. But you know, if you've got one of those Bibles that has it's a red letter edition, The red letters are the words that Jesus physically spoke on earth. And I always love to hear Jesus speak. He's just so wise, you know, because he's God, obviously. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, look how he responds. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He says, Martha, you're worried about a lot of things. You need to make sure the roast doesn't burn. And you're also trying to get to the downstairs bathroom and make sure it's clean. And you're also trying to make sure that, the ice didn't melt in the water you offer me. He said, you're troubled about a lot. And again, we understand that this is a picture here of life. She was troubled. She was stressed. He said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And here's what's interesting. I don't know if I'm preaching. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself this morning. And I'm okay with that. But if you've ever felt stressed, if you've ever felt burdened, if you've ever felt overwhelmed, have you ever heard that? You ever use that terminology and feel like I just got too much going on right now? Notice how she feels because of it. Number one, she thought no one cared. Look at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came and said, notice what she says. That takes guts. Only a woman would say this, because a man doesn't have the guts to say these things. Not to Jesus Christ. Look what she said. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? She said, Lord, do you not care? You may have never said those words out loud, but I promise you, you've thought them. You ever thought to yourself, God, do you not care what's going on in my life? God, do you not see everything that's going on? Can I get a little help? That's what she was saying. She said, Lord, dost thou not care? Keep your finger there in Luke. Go to 1 Peter real quickly. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. It's interesting because she asked Jesus, do you not care? And she's probably asking the person who cared the most about Martha. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 5, this is a great verse for this story here. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5 is right after the book of James. If you found Hebrews, you've got James. Right after James, you've got 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 7. The Bible says this. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? That Him is referring to Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. For He careth for you. Isn't that interesting? 11 words that can change your life. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Obviously, we know that Jesus is the Word. The Bible says He is the Word. And I can imagine as Martha walked up to Him, her hair frazzled, her apron on, her sleeves rolled up, and she says, Lord, dost thou not care? Maybe in his mind, he was quoting this verse, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You ever feel like nobody cares? Nobody wants to help. Nobody can be bothered. If you never felt like that, one day you will. One day you'll be involved in ministry. And you'll go and say, we're going to accomplish this for the kingdom of God. And you'll wonder why people don't rally around it. One day you'll go to your family and you'll say to your kids, we're going to do this for God. And they talk back to you about it. Or they give you attitude about it. One day, a husband may go to his wife and say, you know what? I think we're going to get consistent with this thing of reading our Bible. And we're going to have family Bible time. And your wife may roll her eyes. Or you wives more likely will go to your husband and say, you know, I wish you would be the spiritual leader that God wants you to be. And I wish you would lead our home spiritually. And a husband will say, I'm busy. Just understand that every once in a while, you'll come to the place in your life where you'll put yourself in a position of being hurt. And you'll say, does nobody care? Look at what I'm trying to do for you, Jesus. Do you not care? And the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Don't ever ask Jesus, does He care for you? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. You say, well, I don't understand. Where are you, God? God's always there. He will not leave thee nor forsake thee, is what the Bible says. Go back to Luke. I'd like you to notice, she thought no one cared. Not only did she think no one cared, she also thought she was alone. Look at verse 40 again. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister, notice what she says, that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You see that? She thought no one cared and she thought she was alone. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And every once in a while, we go through struggles, and we go through trials, and we get busy, and you think, well, am I the only one that's ever gone through this? Let me tell you something. Anything you're going through, God knows that others have gone through it in the past. Anything you're stressed out about, anything you're worried about, anything you don't, you say, I don't know how this is going to, others have gone through it, others have been there, others have struggled with it, you're not alone. But she says, why am I the only one doing this? I'm reminded of Elijah. Do you remember Elijah? When he went to God after he had that great victory where he called down fire, And he was complaining to God, and Elijah was a great man of God. But in a moment of weakness and in a moment of flesh, he went to God and he was complaining about the fact that no one else was serving God. And God reminded him, Elijah, you're not alone. He said, there are 7,000 in your nation that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Well, I'm all alone. No, you're not. Well, I'm the only one struggling with it. No, you're not. Well, I'm the only one. No, you're not. You're never alone. So does anybody care? God cares. Not only that, Luke chapter 10. She was not only busy, not only stressed. She thought no one cared and she thought she was alone. But here's probably the most dangerous part. She thought she was correct. She thought she was doing what she should be doing. And in Luke chapter 10 verse 40, it's interesting, and I don't know if you missed this, but the Bible says this. But Martha was cumbered about, notice, much serving. You see that? She was serving. You say, who was she serving? Go back to verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She was serving Jesus Christ. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was serving God. You know, sometimes you can be doing the right thing, but it's not what you're supposed to be doing. She was serving God, and let me say this to you, and I'm afraid to say this, so please listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. I'm going to make two statements, and I want you to be clear about what I'm saying, because people often like to take my words and twist them or make me sound like I'm saying what I'm not saying. Be very careful to not get so busy in serving God that you're not working on your relationship with God. Now, that statement would affect, honestly, and I'm not trying to be rude, please understand what I'm saying. That statement would honestly affect very few people in Christianity or in churches. Because the truth of the matter is, the honest truth is that most people that come to church don't serve God. Most people that profess to be Christians are not serving God. Or at least not to the capacity they should be. Usually when you go to a church, and by the way, just any organization, you may notice this at work, usually 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. So don't leave here this morning and say, Pastor, I was planning on going soul winning, but then you said not to serve God so much, and that's not what I said. Let me tell you something. If you're ever worried that you're serving God too much, ask me. I'll let you know if you're serving God too much. That statement affects very few people. But every once in a while, especially people in ministry, pastors, can get so busy with the things of the ministry that they neglect the inner man. Be very careful of that. But you know, but I'm worried to say that, and I'm saying it because that's part of the passage. I'm worried to say that because I don't want you to use that as an excuse to not serve God. God has commanded us to serve God. Let me just remind you something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians 16. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Look at verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 15. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 15. The Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Achaia. Notice what he says. This is what Paul said about these people. He said, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You see that? Amen. Bible says these people addicted themselves to what? To heroin? No. To pot? No. To pornography? No. To drugs or alcohol? No. These people addicted themselves to the ministry. You know what the word ministry means? It means to minister. It means to serve. Hey, if you're saved today, if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a believer, you would say, I am a Christian. Let me tell you something. God has called you to serve. Amen. Bible says that Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And then He gave you that ministry of reconciliation. So if you think, Pastor, to serve God. But be very careful that you are not so worried about the outward appearance, and you're neglecting the inward relationship. Amen. Go back to Luke. Luke chapter number 10, please. Don't use that as an excuse. Not only did she think she was right, but she compared herself. Look at verse 40 again. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Notice what she said. Understand, this is God in the flesh she's talking to. She's now going to proceed to tell God what to do. Bid her therefore that she help me. Said, you tell her that she needs to come and help me. You know, I'm sorry. We were just in 1 Corinthians. Let me show you another passage in 2 Corinthians. Can you find it quickly? I'm sorry. I should have told you to keep your place there or something. 2 Corinthians, real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. And this might help you out a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look at verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, 12, the Bible says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number. Look what it says. Or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. It is very natural for humans to compare themselves constantly to other people. And the Bible says if you are constantly comparing yourself to other people's, you are not wise. Let me tell you, that is not a good idea. Don't sit there and compare. Well, so-and-so at my age was blah, blah, blah. So-and-so has their own race to run. So-and-so has their own ministry to run. So-and-so has their own children. You know, it's very aggravating sometimes watching people compare their children to other children. Don't compare your children to other children. Well, my kids were this and your kids. Those aren't your kids. Don't worry about it. God didn't give you those kids. And you know what? What is interesting to me is that usually the people that have no kids, or usually the people whose kids are adults and we can't prove how their kids were with their kids, are always telling the people with the kids what they're doing wrong. You know what I mean? You know why I don't tell people how they ought to raise their kids? Because as soon as I go up to someone and tell them, your kid's a brat, my kid's going to be in the bathroom, you know, tagging or something. You know what I mean? As soon as I tell someone else, your kid, but it's funny to me, you know, the people that we can't see how great they were, parents, they want to tell everybody else, hey, don't compare yourself to other people. Well, at this age, my brother or my sister or my cousin or my aunt, they had X amount of dollars in the bank, or they owned this property, or they had this job, or they did this, or they did that. Hey, don't worry about that. If you compare yourself to other people, it's not a wise thing to do. Martha is saying, well, Mary's doing this. That's the problem, Martha. Don't get so caught up on what Mary is doing or what Mary is not doing. You know, as a pastor, you know, we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders. And as a pastor, you know, one of the reasons I try not to spend too much time with other pastors is because as soon as you start talking to other pastors, they want to find, you know, the first thing pastors want to talk about, I've noticed, is this. Well, how many did you have in church on Sunday? Well, Sunday may have been a good day, but it might have been time change Sunday in California and half the crowd was still sleeping. You know what I mean? Don't compare yourself with other people. You'll kill contentment. Remember, I think it was in the bulletin a few weeks ago. Comparison kills contentment. Don't worry about, well, I'm doing this and they're doing that. Just worry about what you're doing, and you serve God and you love God and you love your family and you do the best to run the race that God has given you, and you be happy with that. Martha, it doesn't matter what Mary is doing. It doesn't matter how Mary is raising her kids. It doesn't matter how Mary's relationship is going with her husband. It doesn't matter what Mary is doing or why she got to do this in church and I didn't get to do that. It doesn't matter. You run your race. Don't compare yourself. She compared herself to other people and it brought discontent. She said, bid her therefore that she help me. We said number one, Martha was cumbered. We said number two, Martha was troubled. Number three, I'd like you to see, and this is the last point. I'll give you this point. I didn't say it's the last text, not the last verse. There, when I say it's the last point, you need to understand. I don't know if any of you, you know, remember English class. But you know, when you have an outline, you have points, and then you've got sub-points, okay? It's the last main point. I've got a few sub-points. But number three, Martha was missing the point. We'll play on words there. Martha was missing it. See, life is about developing personal relationships. You ever thought about that? We already established life is not about the clothes you put on. Life is not about the car you're driving. It's interesting. Something happens in our minds. You know, when you're a child, I've got these young kids and they just love life. You know what I mean? They don't really care what they look like. They don't care if their hair is combed. They don't care if their clothes match. They don't care. They're just happy with life. But around 12, 13, something changes. And all of a sudden, life becomes all about how you look. How's my hair? How am I dressed? And we laugh, but adults are like that. Keeping up with the Joneses. Well, the neighbor has this car, so now I need to go get this car. It's all about that. She was cumbered about. But that's not what life is really about. And if you really get down to it, life is about developing relationships. Look at verse 38. Well, let's see. Yeah, look at verse 30. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, notice, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. See, Jesus Christ did not necessarily come over, Martha, to inspect your house. He didn't necessarily come over to make sure that everything was prim and proper. Jesus Christ came over. The Bible is very clear about the fact that Jesus was a close personal friend of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus came over to spend time with Mary and Martha. But when he got there, Mary sat down and began to fellowship and began to develop a close personal relationship with a friend. And Martha got busy with life. And here's what you need to understand. Life is about developing relationships. Hey, life is about developing relationships. Think about your physical family. You know, I'll be very honest with you. Can I be honest with you and you not talk bad about me behind my back? That's okay. I get used to it. Man, I wish I could remember. My son said something. I can't remember what he said now. Good night. I wish I could remember it. He said, sticks and stones will break my bones, but I'll punch you in the face. Something like that. You know, I don't remember what it was, but I was thinking to myself, that's not quite right, but I like the attitude. I like the energy. You know, it's good. You know, let me be honest with you. I've gotten so busy. I personally have gotten so busy providing for my family. That a lot of times you get so busy working to provide for your family, you neglect the family you're providing for. You know what I mean? And what we need to understand is realize that life is not about, it's not so much about the clothes that the kids are wearing or the food that the kids are eating as much as it is about developing the relationship with the kids that God has given you. Life is not as much about making sure that your wife is taken care of as much as it is to make sure that you're developing an intimate relationship with the wife that God has given you. And a lot of times in our lives, we neglect the fact and we forget about the fact that, yeah, we understand the bills need to get paid and work needs to be done. And we get that and we understand that. But that's not what life is about. Life is about developing relationships with other people. And oftentimes we get so busy, that's the last thing we do. It's interesting to me that mothers get so busy developing relationships on social media with people they've never met before that they ignore the people that are physically there in their house. We get so busy with doing things and going places and playing video games and this and that or whatever and things that don't matter. And the people that are there that do matter, those are the ones we forget about. Mary was developing a relationship with a friend. But not only that, she was developing, you know, and let me say this, you got to develop a relationship with your physical family, but you got to develop a relationship with your spiritual family. That's one of the reasons that church is around. That's one of the purposes for church, I don't know if you know that, is for you to, I personally believe that your social life ought to revolve around God's people. You say, well, where can I find good friends here? Well, how do I find good friends? Well, the Bible says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Hey, it may not hurt to show up 15, 20 minutes early and grab a cup of coffee and a donut before church on Sunday morning and go shake someone's hand and say, hey, how you doing? My name's so-and-so. Nice to meet you. Because life is about developing relationships. Life is about establishing friendships. Life is about loving people. I was listening to a time management type lesson recently. And the person speaking said, and this will just tell you how off track my mind was. He said, when it comes to time management, you've got to develop your values. And he said, a good way to develop your values is to do this. Think about if you had 1 week to live, what would you spend that week doing? And I'd spend time with my family, talking, getting to know them and love them. He said, if you had 1 day to spend before you died, how would you spend it? He said, however you answer that question, those are your values. And I thought to myself, that's not really helping me with time management. Because I wouldn't spend that last week working or, you know, scheduling. And please, don't misunderstand me. We need to work and we need to schedule. We get that. But see, the whole point was this. Sometimes we spend our time doing things that absolutely do not matter. They don't matter. It doesn't really matter what happened on Facebook or Twitter or what Sean Hannity is talking about or Rush Limbaugh or whoever you like to listen to. What matters is what goes on in the walls of your house, and what matters, honestly, is what goes on in the walls of this church, and what matters at the end of your life is the relationships we've developed and the people that we've helped and the investment that we've put in people. Hey, that's why we go out soul winning and knocking on doors and preaching the gospel. Why? Because at the end of the day, helping others is what matters. That's what brings joy to life. Notice verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Look what he said, verse 42, last part of verse 42. Which shall not be taken away from her. He said, you know, this is what Jesus is saying. You know, Martha, you're investing in a lot of temporal things that will end. We will eat that roast, and that bathroom will get dirty, and that water will run out. But Mary is investing in the things that will last forever. Amen. He said in relationships. But not only that. Not only were they developing relationship with a friend, with family, physical. But you need to understand, obviously, it is a picture of developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Today people often refer to the fact that, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And they'll refer to that as being salvation. And I believe that salvation is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear about that. But let me tell you something. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you have a relationship with Christ. Just because you're a believer in Christ does not mean you really know Christ. Life is about developing relationships with people. And life is about developing relationships with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 42. Look what he says. Well, 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Notice he says, but one thing is needful. He said, you're careful. He said, and you're troubled about many things. Lots of things that want to take your attention and lots of things that want to take, that want to make themselves priorities in your life. But he says, honestly, it comes down to this. Verse 42. One thing is needful. Say, what do you need in life? One thing. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Remember I told you to keep your place there? Matthew chapter 6. We read verse 28. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. Let's read it again. The Bible says, and why take ye thought for raiment? I'm sorry. Let's begin at verse number 25. That's where I want you. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, know yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?
Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?
Trust me, I've tried. Doesn't work. Verse 28. And why? Some of you get that. And why? Some of you are going to get that in an hour. See, you're an hour behind, so that's why it doesn't work. Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, of all these things. You say, God, do you not care that I need to pay this bill? Hey, your heavenly Father already knows about that. He cares. Look at verse 33. Notice what he says. One thing is needful. Look what he says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things that shall be added unto you? What we shall eat, what we shall drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know what Jesus is saying? One thing is needful for you to seek the kingdom of God. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Go to Matthew chapter 11. You're there in Matthew 6. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Look at how this verse goes beautifully with the story of Mary and Martha. Matthew chapter number 11. Look at verse number 28. This would be a beautiful illustration of Mary and Martha's story. Look at verse 28, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, all of you that are cumbered, all of you that are weighed down, all of you that are stressed out, all of you that are busy, all of you that are worried. He said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But notice verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Notice, don't miss this. And what? Learn of me. You see that? You know why Mary wasn't stressed out? Because she was at the feet of Jesus, learning about Jesus. You say, I don't have joy in my life. I don't have happiness in my life. I'm stressed out in my life. I'm this and I'm that in my life. It may have to do with the fact that Jesus Christ is not the priority in your life. You say, well, why is that? Because God created you to have a relationship with Him. Amen. And when you do everything else in life and neglect Jesus Christ, you will be stressed out. You will be cumbered. You will feel like you're very busy and accomplishing nothing. It's nice that Martha was doing all those things. But when she neglected Christ, she missed the whole point. Look at verse 29 again. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Go back to Luke. We're done. Luke chapter number 10. We're done right here. I just want you to see this. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10. The Bible says, verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She's got a few questions for you. Obviously, rhetorical questions. I'm not looking for a physical answer, but something for you to think about. How is your relationship with your family? Hey, how's your relationship with your church family? I don't understand how you expect to make it in the Christian life without developing relationships with other people that are going to love you and pray for you and care for you and come along beside you and encourage you. And every once in a while, they're going to hold you accountable. Look, if you come to church and you never develop relationships with people to the place where, you know, I've had people talk to me sometimes and they'll say, Pastor, I was going through this trial in my life and no one reached out to me. And I think to myself, yeah, but you created a wall around yourself that caused it for no one to be able to reach out to you.
the purpose of the Christian life, if you're going to survive the Christian life, you're going to have to... That's why God gave you a church. That's why God gave you people to come around you and love you and care for you. And by the way, for you to love and care for them. How's your relationship with your physical family, with your personal family? Hey, how's your relationship with Christ? Honestly, how is your prayer life? Is it non-existent? How's your Bible reading? Do you even read at all? How's your church attendance? Do you allow anything to come between you and the Savior? Do you allow anything? You say, well, I'll go to church if absolutely nothing else. I mean, for me to make it to church, the stars have to align, the planets have to align. Everything's got to be just right, or else, you know, if I go outside and I see one little cloud, that's going to keep me from church. You know what that tells us is that Christ is not number one in your life. Because if you said, seek me first, the kingdom of God, if you had that attitude, then guess what? He'd be top priority. Does anything come between you and your time with Christ? I challenge you, develop a devotional time with Christ every day where you talk to Him and you walk with Him and you get to know Him and you learn of Him. And that'll help you to cast your care upon Him. How's your relationship with others? Are you so busy with life that you're neglecting the most important things in life? Look, I'm all for getting busy. I'm all for hustling and working hard. I think we need it. And I don't want some of you guys to walk out of here today and see, well, see, Pastor Jimenez said that he was working so much he neglected his family, so that's why I'm not going to work at all. I never said that. Men are created to work, by the way. And the Bible talks about this word laziness. And men ought to work and get up. And I understand we all work different types of jobs and we all do different things. But everybody ought to get up and accomplish something. You know, one of the reasons people are so depressed in life is because they sit around doing nothing all day and they're not accomplishing nothing. And then they wonder why they don't feel accomplished. You didn't do anything. Amen. I'm all for work. I'm not saying you ought not work, but I'm saying keep your priorities in order. I'm saying make sure you give the proper time to God and give the proper time to your spouse and give the proper time to your children and give the proper time to the things of God and the work of God and stay busy and stay at it and keep going. But don't neglect the good part, the relationships in life. Don't get so busy, so caught up with things that don't matter. You know, I often think to myself, I get so busy with things. You know, I've got to install a fire alarm. I've got to troubleshoot this one little device. And at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. Money comes, money goes. But relationships, I've only got so many years to invest in my kids. I've only got so much time to help others and love people. Use it wisely. Don't get cumbered about with the things of this world. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church. Lord, I pray you'd bless us to be a people who would have our priorities in order. Lord, I pray you'd help me to have my priorities in order. Thank you for my family. Thank you for our church family. Lord, I pray you'd help us to love you and develop personal, intimate relationships with Christ. In your precious name I pray. Amen.